Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Aleph. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah over there, right at the bottom of Pei Amud Beis. And we're talking about finally, what doesn't seem finally, because it sure seems like it's a review of a mission we had before, which is, what kind of food can you use for your Erev? So it says over here, B'chol Ma'arvinu Mishtatfim. Chutz min ha-mayim u-min ha-melach, divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Whereas Rebbe Yoshua says, now this is something new. Rebbe Yoshua says, look, man, a kikar of bread. Now that's an Erev. You know, I don't care how big that kikar is, but it's got to be a full roll, a challah, not pieces. And I'm talking about, even if you took a gigantic piece of bread, so you made a bread from an entire sa'ah, so it's big enough to feed an army, but you cut it, and it's brusa, you can't use that. But if you've got a little tiny bit of bread that is completely closed, and it's just the size of an isar, which is the koina, the isar, as long as it's shalem, that's fine. You can use that. As long as, obviously, there's a grogeret enough for each person. I mean, we're not saying doesn't matter the size, no matter how many people. But he's saying the type of thing, we're not talking about the amount, we're talking about the type of thing that you use. According to Rabbi Yeshua, even though we're talking about a grogrot, it doesn't mean a grogeret, really a fig, it means a tiny little challah, the size of a fig. So as long as it's a challah, that's fine, as long as there are 18 of them, or there's a challah that's big enough for everybody. Anyway, ask the Gemara, now, this sure sounds awfully familiar because we had this whole discussion before, didn't we? I mean, that was way back in the beginning of Masechet, Daf Chavav, we had, the Mishnah says, B'chol ma'arvin mishtatvim chutz min ha-mayim min ha-melach. What for? Omar Rabba, yeah. The reason that we repeat it over here is because we've introduced all of a sudden the idea here of Rabbi Yoshua, and that is that Eruvei Chatzeras are going to be, Rabbi Meir said before, and Rashi apparently has a girsa also that this is Lafukim Rabbi Meir, because remember, we already found the sheet of Rabbi Meir, remember, who was saying there's an afkamina if you make it with pot, and you make it with yayin. So according to Rabbi Meir, you can't make the Eruvei Chatzeras with anything but pot, and we thought that maybe that was the reason that he was saying you can't be yotze your Eruv Chatzeres with your sheet of mavos. We said, no, even if you made it by pot. Anyway, we did have a sheet like that before, but this is Rabbi Yoshua, who says, no, you can only use a kikar, nothing else. Therefore, the Mishnah restresses that no, b'kol anything, b'kol ma'arvinu mishtatfi. And that means that the Rebbe Eliezer, Tanakama, means you can use even peirot and so on and so forth, the mashka, meaning even yayin and so on. So the reason that we want to repeat this over here, remember, is that before we were talking about a general sense of eruvim, not only the eruvim of the chotzer and the mavoi we're talking about over there, the whole perek was talking about eruvei tchumim. And so it would have been easy to misunderstand and think that, okay, when it comes to eruvei tchumim is my business. Okay, whatever I want to be miyachet is my mokum shvisa is fine. But we're going to see later on, and we've already had the yisod, this concept, that the din of an eruv is also a halacha in making people feel like one happy family. It's not just a formality. So if you're going to introduce any sense of jealousy or of feeling insulted that somebody gave a piece of garbage for his Erev, that's a very bad thing. And so maybe I might have thought that when it comes to Eruvei Tchumim, it's personal business. But when it comes to putting in your piece in the action where everybody's putting in stuff, if you put a piece of bread, like maybe that is going to get people upset, which counters the whole effect of an Eruv. Kamash Malan, therefore, we want to know that you should know, according to Rabbi Eliezer, argues in Rabbi Yeshua, doesn't make any difference. Eitvei Abai, is that true? It says in the Braita, בכל מערבין עירובי חצרות, ובכל משתתפים שיתוף מבעות, and the idea of pot is לא אמרו לערב בפת, if we're talking about this last piece, בכל משתתפים, this idea of pot is referring specifically to עירובי חצרות. But when it comes to a shituf, then you can make it with anything. Now, tell me who is this mandomer, okay? I mean, who's the person who says, we've got to use bread, nothing else? Isn't that Rabbi Yeshua? And it says over here that bechol means with anything. So even though the Braita says anything, it doesn't mean anything, it means bread, right? I mean, like, you started saying anything. So how do you know the Rabbi Eliezer who says anything just means any kind of bread? Maybe that's the point. Because, I mean, it is true that you can use bread that is not normally considered to be bread. Let's say rice bread. We're going to talk about that later. So you're allowed to use a bread that looks like bread. So maybe that's the pshat, but call with any type of bread. Because, I mean, obviously this is going, according to the Mandi Omar, who holds pot, and it still uses the word bakol. So how can you, Rav, explain to me that the point over here is that when it repeats the Mishnah, it's to tell me that, no, don't think you need to use bread. Maybe it does mean bread. You're right. Okay, so then that's not the reason. But Elam Rabba Barbachana, you know what? It's from a different point. It's not about the bread. It's about the piece of bread. That's the point. That it's going lafukim Rabbi Yeshua, we need to repeat the Mishnah in order to cancel the part of Rabbi Yeshua who claims that it needs to be a whole challah or lachmaniya, that dafke shlema in beprusalo kamash balon. Therefore, we need to know no anything, even if it's busted up into pieces. Actually, what's the problem of a prusa? My time alone. Om Rabbi Yosi ben Shol Om Rabbi Mishum Eva. People might like really be insulted about the fact that everybody is like putting in nice stuff. This idiot, like what, he couldn't throw in anything but a piece of bread that's going to become all moldy or all hard. It's terrible. So everybody, because in order to avoid any sense of eva with the whole idea of an Erev Chatzeros is that it's part of what makes people feel happy being together, which the Gemara speaks out beferish, also in the Yerushalmi speaks out beferish, that the point over here is it's also a tikkun for the whole way in which people interrelate. It's not just a question of Rishuyos HaShabbos. So we want to be very careful that we don't cause that kind of thing to happen. Well, really, Ravaka, I actually had an experience like this. But it, Mamish, it stays with me. I was like 5 years old. And it was like this day in kindergarten that everybody is supposed to be bringing a toy, putting it into a common kitty, and then you take out a toy and you share it with the other people, right? And I didn't have anything in the house. I had totally forgotten about it. And all I had was like this piece of furniture from a dollhouse or something that was in the house. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I hope they don't ask who threw in this piece of furniture. Anyway, so I throw in this piece of furniture. Thank God nobody found out it was me. But I hear somebody saying, who put this in? It's the kind of thing that sticks with you your whole life, you know? So, okay, it's exactly this kind of nakuna. So that would be the problem. And that's the reason. So says Rav Acha, Rav Ravel Ravashi. Okay, so what would be in a case where the whole place only has like pieces of bread. So everybody else just wants to throw in a piece of bread. So over there, nobody can look at you as being a no good nick, right? So why couldn't you do it there? Says Ravacha, Breda Ravala Ravashi, says Ravashi to him, no, we can't allow that because you can't make exceptions because of one particular event. So you never know. Shemayach zara davar lekil kulo. I mean, what will be in other circumstances where people start giving in little challahs, and then again it will end up causing some insult. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Sha'ul. Now, the question over here is: what is a full loaf of bread? Is anybody going to know if you use super glue? to stick the bread together, right? No one will know. So the question is, so how about if you use super glue? Or how about if just a little tiny bit is taken off because you forgot to take off challah from it, or because you didn't take off trumas or maaseres, you know? So suppose you take off a little piece that's just enough for challah. And, or you had, maybe it had been mixed with truma, so you had to take off enough that you were mala it from the truma and had dimua. So that's okay. You could still be ma'ariv with it. Because the whole point of that, everybody understands that's just making it kosher. I mean, okay, that's fine. Wait a minute. The Braisa didn't say that. The Braisa says only if it's small enough for truma. Doesn't, then you can use it, but not challah. Kidei chalatayin marvin bo, that's too much. That's big. That's not a problem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, when he said challah, he's referring to the smaller shear of challah. Remember, there's two shearim of challah. One is double the other. Either it's a 24th or it's a 48th. So it depends. If you are a baker, then it's a little piece. So it's 1/48th. But if you're stam baking your own, so then it's a 24th. So that's the difference. So when I said it doesn't make a difference, that's talking about where a baker is chayev in 1/48th. And we're over there. Shir chala echad miyesrim v'yarba. Normally, and this is true even if you're baking like an enormous amount of challahs, you're making a wedding, right? But you're baking your own personal challahs. And osi isala atzmo, or you make an isa for your son's chasana. So there may be 1,000 guests. It doesn't matter. It's still 1 out of 24. But if you're a baker who bakes to sell, or a woman who bakes in her own house in order to sell, then the shear is 1 out of 48. Because, I mean, really, media rice, so you only need kidei nitina. So that would be okay. Okay. So there's no kind of contradiction. Amar Rav Chisda. So now, how about if you super glued it together? How would you super glue it together? Well, you got two pieces. So you stick like a toothpick inside of it, right? And then you put the two sides together and everything looks good. You can use that. Marvim loba. What? It says in a brighter that if you use super glue, ain't marvim ba. Says the Gemara, it depends how well you know how to glue. So lokasha. If you can see that it was glued together, so then if you did it, obviously it's no good. If you did a good job, then it is no good. You could use any kind of bread. We say bread, it doesn't mean bread that you're going to make a motzi on. Let's say that you've got bread that's made out of rice, or bread that's made out of dochan. Most learn that dochan is millet. Omar Mar Ukva Ledidi Mefarshali Minei Demar Shmuel. I can tell you that I was told in Shmuel's name that only you could use rice bread, because people really very often will use rice cakes, rice bread. But Bepat Dochan, you cannot be Ma'ariv. And Omar Pchia Baravin, Omar Rav, you could use even pot that was made out of lentils. Ma'arvin Bepat Adashim. What? Lentils? They made some lentil bread that they brought in the time of Shmuel, and they gave it to Shmuel. He threw it to his doggy, and the dog refused to eat it. So you're calling that something you're going to be able to make an Erev for? That's not even good dog food. So how could you use that for an Erev? No. That, you know, you bring something without any context, and you make it sound like it's ridiculous. But Lomaisa was a very good context for that. First of all, that wasn't talking about just plain adashim. It was talking about adashim that was mixed with other types of grains, which makes an awful, awful bread. And the mocker of this whole thing was, remember that Yecheskel was told when he was trying to bring out how terrible things are going to be for Klal Yisrael. So it says in the pasuk, "Vata kach lecha chitim usorim uful vaadashim vedochan vechusmim." So take all of these things, mix them together, and make this horrible bread, and then market it as multi-grain bread, and watch every dog throw up in the neighborhood. Right. So that means that kind that kind of erev is no good. But regular stam, if you just make it adashim, would be good. And the fact is, we're going to see, Shmuel was actually, he was experimenting. So like, what exactly was so terrible about this, right? And so Shmuel wanted to see what's so terrible. So he had him bake it for him, and he threw it to the doggy, and the doggy wouldn't eat it. That was the whole point. But we'll see the details. So Rav Papa says that's not the problem with Yecheskel's bread. Yecheskel's bread was much worse because it says Beferish that Ahit Suliabit So'ata Damavoi, the bread was baked in feces. The Chtivi Vihi Begelalait Se'ata Adam Tu'ugena. So you should bake this thing right in front of their eyes, La'inehem, utilizing feces, which is disgusting. And this is all to make it disgusting in their eyes. And then it says, V'ugat Seorim Tochlena. So then why do we call it Seorim? I don't understand. Seorim, I mean, what's wrong with barley? Omrev Chista, no, not Seorim. It means Shiurim, meaning even this garbage bread, what you should do is you should measure it out like, no, everybody can only have a tiny piece because this is we need to keep alive just with this piece for the whole day. This is our rationing for the day. So that means show them that it's going to be rationed to even this amount, even this type of bread. Rav Papa Omar, it's the way that it's shaped. It's arivataka arivat saorin veloki arivat chitim. That is referring to the way barley bread is usually not turned into these beautiful challahs with, you know, braids and so on. It's very, very random how it comes out. So it shouldn't look beautiful. That was the point. And that's what Shmuel was doing over there. He threw it to the dog to see if the dog would eat it. It's not like he was disgusted. And you misrepresented the whole story. Anyway, we are ready for Sir Richard. Aha. Suppose you want to buy shares in an Erev, right? So, okay, so there's this bakery that people will normally take the bread for the Erev. They'll buy it from that baker or a grocer, the Chenveni, the Nachtom. So you go ahead and you give money in advance. You say, okay, here, look, do me a favor. Here, take this money. You don't pick up any piece of bread or anything. You say, I want to buy a piece of the challah that you're baking for the Erev, and you know, just tell everybody that I already own part of this. And so the Shaila is that okay? So Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, that's fine. But the Chachamim say that's not fine because you weren't Kena. By giving money, you can't be Kena Metaltalim with money. You didn't pick up the bread. So how exactly would that be an Erev? That doesn't work at all. Okay, all right, so now they're made that other people, Stan, give it to a guy in the chutzner, not to the baker and not to the candlestick, I mean to the grocer, and you give it to the guy next door, and you say to him, listen, I'm not going to be home, so here's money to participate in the Erev. Over there, of course, you're certainly are going to be Zocha with your Moes, because over there, all that happened is that you want the guy to be your shliach to participate in the Erev. You're not trying to be kina anything. You're giving him money to cover the costs that will be for you. So it would be the same thing as saying, please buy into the Erev for me and I'll pay you back. I mean, obviously that would be fine, right? And so over there, it was zocha for him. And we can't make she'in marvin la'adam ela midato. So this is nogea. What is this nogea exactly? That we're saying this over here. Because if you gave the money to the baker and you tell the baker you want to buy, and then the baker goes ahead and he says, well, this guy's an Amoritz. He doesn't know you can't buy. So then I'll take it as if he made me a shliach to be participate in the Erev for him. You can't do that because since he didn't tell you he wants you to be a shliach, all he said was, I want to buy a piece of that bread. So you don't have a right to, if you want to try to be mezake him, let's say somebody comes in and you say, listen, this guy came in, he wanted to buy the bread. He gave me money, but he wasn't kena with the money. So therefore, you pick up the bread for him and be kena. That's not going to work because he never made you a shliach. But the same language, when he says it to a neighbor, is in fact making him a shliach. That's the point. Now, obviously, if you were actually Kaina and you picked it up, of course then it would be kosher. Amar Rebbe Yehuda, when do we say that you need to have a guy's das? That's only in an Eruve Techumim. Because how do you know that he wants you to make an Erev Techumim, which is going to cost him whatever Amos are on the east side are going to cost him on the west side? So obviously you need to know. But if you're talking about Eruve Chatzeres, Ma'arvim Ledato V'shelo Ledato, over there we don't care. You can use... He doesn't do it. What's it going to hurt him? It's only good for him. Now, obviously, this goes back to yesterday's machlokas about whether we have this in the inverse. Rav and Shmuel, right? Do you need his das for tchumim and not for chatzeros, or for chatzeros and not for tchumim, or like Reb Nachman Paskin, for both? So Gemara will get into that. So exactly how do we make this Mishnah work with yesterday's Mishnah? Okay, so now the problem is, how in the world did Reb Eliezer say that you would be able to be kena an Erev if you never picked it up and you never made the guy into a shliach? So what's Haloma Shach? So what's Reb Eliezer saying? Omer of Nachum, Omer Rabba Barabuha. Look, you know perfectly well that there are times that we actually make a kinyan work without Mashiach. And it all has to do with food, as a matter of fact. And what was that? That was the case of Vivaldi, of the Four Seasons. So the idea over there is that there's four times in a year that we actually let you be kena, even though there was no Mashiach. And that's talking about Arba Prakim B'Shana. We are going to tell you that you who paid $5, I order a steak. And the guy normally will take money for ordering a steak because he assumes he'll get enough money to cover the animal that he's going to shecht. In this case, the butcher had finished up all of his animals. He was left with the $5 worth of steak for you, and all he had left was an animal that was worth $1,000. So he says, forget it, take your money back. I can't afford to check this animal for you. This would be like the airlines having to fly a jumbo jet because they have one customer and their commitment is to fulfill that ticket, which of course they have to do. So the idea over here is that there were four times in the year which we make a chiv on the butcher to shech no matter what it's going to cause him. And it's as if that meat is already owned by the person who put the money in, because the need for meat at that time is such that we understand it's gemiras das without the actual act of kinyan. Now, remember that we brought this up yesterday, and that was the svara for saying that you don't need to be mezakeh because there is no need for a kinyan if we know clearly that there's gemiras das. That's the point. And since we understand that it would be a disaster for you not to have meat for these arba prakim b'shana, so this would include, this is Erev Pesach and Erev Shavuos and Erev Shmini Atzeres and Erev Yom Kippur in places where they were makabit to have like a big soda for Yom Kippur. But the point is that there are times where we force, kofenot olishchot, we force the butcher to go right ahead into shecht, in which case the implications also are that if anything happens to the animal drops dead, it's your loss, the guy gave the $5, and not the butcher's loss, which normally it is. So I feel a shor shava elef dinar, and all I put in was $1 out of the 1,000, he has to shecht. But because of that, if something happens to the shor and it dies, then it's the buyer who's going to lose. Now, how could the buyer be the one who loses if he was never kaina? Omer Avuna. No, the Mishnah is talking about that he was kaina. He was mashach. That's not possible, because read the rest of that Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah says, this is only in the Four Seasons. But any other day of the year, it's not true. And if the butcher gives back the money and he doesn't want to shecht, we can't force him to shecht. And because of that, if it dies before the shechita, then he gets his money back. So if the plane doesn't fly, then the airline has to refund the ticket. According to Rav Huna, that doesn't make any sense. The guy was already mashach and it's his. So why shouldn't he be the one to lose? Amr of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, of course, is completely wrong interpretation. It's talking about that he wasn't mashach, okay? But maybe somebody else was zocha for him. So the butcher asked somebody to be zocha. And what's the nafkamina of the four seasons? Because the four seasons, we have a schus. It's definitely anybody would want that. So it's very similar to our case. If you're talking about Erev Tchumim, that's not a schus. If you're talking about Erev Chatzeres, that's a schus. So Mamela, he has a right to be mezaka for you during the four seasons, because zochen olonam shalo b'fanav. Whereas any other time, we don't know that the guy wants to buy steak, so ein chavin lo la'adam ela b'fanav. And now, the real explanation, which explains our Mishnah here in terms of Rabbi Eliezer, is Rabbi La Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And this is the famous sheet of Rabbi Yochanan we have all over Shas. Very important halacha. Midiraisa. Money is the way to make a kinyan. Ma'ot konot. And therefore, the four seasons, we utilize the din diraisa. So, because this goes back to the essential understanding, what is a proper kinyan? Because Rabbi Yochanan's general shita is, midiraisa, mo'os, is the way that you buy, and that is the only way to buy, and you do not need to do any kind of mashicha at all. So where did this din of mashicha come from? It's a derabbanan. And the rabbanan created the din of mashicha in order to avoid not taking responsibility for your sales. So imagine a situation like this. There's a fire in Amazon's warehouse. And the question over there would be, okay, so people bought. Who's responsible? Did they lose their money? So Amazon figures, what the heck? These idiots already gave their credit cards. Why put out the fire at such great expense? Let it all burn down, right? That's called Nisrufu Chitecha Ba'aliyah. So in order to avoid those type of reactions, the Chachamim say it doesn't matter. You're going to have to refund all credit card payments and all cash payments unless they actually took possession. That's called Mashicha. So if they took possession, then there's no problem of the warehouse burning down, obviously. But in order to make sure that the responsibility accrues to the seller and not the buyer, and therefore he's going to do his best to protect the merchandise, because of that, they made that takana. That was the whole idea. So in this case, the Chachomim said, look, it's kedai to go back to the Yoraita because it's so important to have the meat for Yontiv and for Erev Yom Kippur and so on. So over there, the same thing is true over here. Rabbi Eliezer must be saying that making an Erev is just as important as the question of having meat for Yontiv, having an Erev for Shabbos. Because of that, they were Mekel, and you do not need to do a Kinyan. Now, the other type of people who are not people that generally sell, so we're not talking about the baker and the makolet man. So who does it mean? Man shar kol adam. It means any balabayit in the chutzra, balabayit, v'chinom shmuel, balabayit. That's the point. Because Shmuel pointed out that the meaning of the Mishnah is dafke, the baker. But if you give money to a balabayit to share the Erev, then he was kena. And Omar Shmuel, by the way, there's another, and as we explained, because you're making him a shliach, that's the point. Omar Shmuel, furthermore, this halacha that you're not kena is if you gave him cash. But if you gave him a kli, so then you could be kena. Why? Because that would be a kinyan chalipin. And a kinyan chalipin, that's kinyan sudar. Kinyan sudar works in place of mashicha. So that would be kaina. The Omar Shmuel, Loshana de Omar lo Zacheli. It also depends the language that you use. You told the butcher, Zacheli. Okay, Zacheli means make it mine, right? which you can't do unless you make a kinyan with Mashiach or with Chalipin. But suppose he had told the butcher, make an Erev for me. That's the same as the next door neighbor. And that's Shliach Shavya. Then he would be Kena. Okay. Rav Yehuda. Bamed Varma Murim. So Rav Yehuda says this is only true when it comes to the problem of Eruve Techumi. But when you get to Eruve Chatzeres, you don't need to ask. Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Now, this, of course, is Nogea yesterday's Gemara. The Machlok is Rav and Shmuel about how to understand the implications vis-a-vis Eruve Chatzeres. So Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Yep, that's how we paskin. And 100% the din is, like we said yesterday, like Rav Yehuda, you only need to have a consent form when it comes to Eruve Techumi. V'lo od. By the way, I want you to know, everywhere that Rav Yehudas get an opinion over here that had to do with Erevin, we paskin like him. Now, that sounds like anywhere in the Masechet. So Rav Chana Bagadita said to Rav Yehuda, Shmuel was saying that the halachas like Rav Yehuda, even about the case where we spoke about if the Korah or the Lechi collapses on Shabbos, and over there, Rav Yehuda said, it's okay, even though when a normal mechitza collapses for Shabbos, it's very much not okay, because as we say, a mechitza is a mechitza is a mechitza, and it's not called a mechitza, but the Lechi and the Korah is not a literal mechitza. And so because of that, we said, it's okay. But the problem is that in that case, Rabbi Yossi did not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi, we usually paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So was I don't get it. Was he saying that this is how we paskin? Even Benogea over there? So Korah and Lechi, Omar Leh, did you hear what I said? I said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Be'erevin. What is it, Be'erevin? Lechi v'korah has nothing to do with Erevin. Lechi v'korah is a din in Shabbos, and your ability to be metaltal in the Mavli, correct? So why would you think that it's going to be like, of course not. Lo b'mechitzos, the question of Lechi v'korah is a completely different issue, whether it's considered to be mechitzos over there. And I didn't say we paskin like reviewed against Rav Yossi. Anyway, Omalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Ravash. When Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, you never say a halacha unless somebody's arguing, right? Now, didn't Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi say that koma kom sha'amar Rabbi Yehuda ematai or bameh devarim amurim? He isn't arguing. He's coming to explain. Now, this touches on yesterday's sugya. Do chaverav, are chaverav chalukim alav on Rabbi Yehuda or not chalukim alav on Rabbi Yehuda? Right? That's what we talked about yesterday, because the Mishnah over there, the way Rav was explaining the Mishnah was against the way Shmuel was explaining the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, obviously Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing, nobody's arguing on him. He says, Bamed Dvarim Amurim, that means we're all agreed. I just want to explain. When do we say you need a consent form? Only by Eruv Techumi. So why did you have to paskin like him if he's not even arguing? What do you mean he's not even arguing? What about yesterday's Mishnah? What's the matter with you? It said Beferish in the Mishnah yesterday, Nitosfu Aleihem, that if we got new people, we could be Mosif and Mezaka, and you need a consent form. Vitzarech Lodnia. So what are you telling me? That according to Rav Yehuda, we shouldn't need that. So it's saying 100%. Not like Rabbi Yehuda. You do need a consent form for an Erev Chatzeres. Or an Erev Shittuv Mavoz we're talking about over there. No, but we answered that yesterday, don't you remember? That it depends whether this is a Chatzer that has access to two separate Mavoz. So over there, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have access to two Mavoz, you have to choose one or the other for the Shittuv. So over there, of course I need a consent form. How do I know that the guy wants to use the Eastern Mavli and not the Western Mavli? And even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says you could make a Shittuv with both Mavot, Maybe he doesn't want the traffic. Like we said yesterday, people don't necessarily want a chutzner to be open on both sides. So in that case, it's not certainly a zechus for him. It may be a chuvah for him. And we said that's why you need a consent form. But Reb Yehuda would agree in that case. Reb Yehuda was only talking about where there was one mavui and you certainly need access. So our Mishnah was talking about a chutzner shebein shtei mevaot. So I don't see that there's a machlokes that justifies Shmuel's statement that halacha Reb Yehuda, there never was an argument. Wait a minute over here. Rav Shizbi yesterday quoted Rav Chisda saying, so you see from our Mishnah that the other Chachomim at the time of Rav Yehuda disagreed with him. Chalukim alav chaver of Rav Yehuda, because after all, it says over here you do need a consent form. Ha! All right, so then Shmuel, what is he going to do with Rabbi Yoshua's statement that Koma Kom Shomer Rabbi Yehuda Bamedvor Mamurim and so on, that's not considered to be an argument? And I said, so what's your problem? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi disagrees with Shmuel. So what? So Shmuel doesn't buy into that claw. I don't understand what the big deal is. You're going to ask Gavra, Gavra, Karamita. But you're not allowed to argue. Shmuel can't argue with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Shmuel holds that they're disagreeing, and therefore he paskins. And Mar Sava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, says they don't disagree, and fine, so he'll explain that the Mishnah's talking about a chotzer ben shtei mavos. Anyway, let me just analyze that business about whether it's really true. Now, this is very important for anybody who's planning on being in Las Vegas over Shabbos and so on. The next piece of Gemara is very important in terms of gambling. So are you allowed to gamble? What type of gambling? And so on. So let's get to the bottom of it. Because, Gufa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi claims, wherever it says, Bameh Devarim Amurim in Rabbi Yehuda, or Eim Atai, he's not coming to argue, he's coming to Farish Divrei Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan says, now wait a minute, half of that is true, half of that is not true. If he says, Eim Atai, when is that? So that indeed is only coming to be mefaresh. But if he says, but bamed dvarim amurim, what circumstances does this apply? That is, he's coming to be chaylik, okay? Wait, so you're saying everybody agrees that if he says ematai, that he's definitely not arguing? Is that true? What about the famous Mishnah about gamblers? When the Mishnah says, Eloin Apsulim, the following people are not allowed to give testimony, and they're not allowed to be a judge. And these are people who are Misachek Bekubia, so they're gamblers. They play with dice, or they give out money on interest, or they may be cockfighters, Mafrichei Yonim, or racing their doves, or another pshat in the Gemara over there was they train birds to lure other birds into their dovecot so they could catch them. Or Sochare Shvi'it, these are people that are more makban on money than they are in the Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda says, when do we say that gamblers are aser? Ematai. Bizman she'en lo umanut elahi. So Rabbi Yehuda was saying, with the words ematai, which everybody just agreed, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, both agreed that ematai is not an argument. So in other words, I'm coming to explain. When is gambling considered to be a pagam for edus? Only if this is your only income. So a guy who spends all day long trading currencies, he's puzzled for Edus. But if he has some other valid income, where he doesn't just bet on other people's losses, a valid income, so as long as he has some valid income, then he's kosher. So what's the issue, according to Rabbi Yehuda? That somebody who is in a mode of easy come, easy go. Okay, so I lost a few million today, I make a few million tomorrow. There is no participation in him for the human condition. And therefore, he has no sensitivity to what loss of money would mean to somebody else. And he doesn't hesitate to steal or not to pay up his debts or whatever. So that person essentially is possible because he cannot be trusted in what he says. Fine. Now, what's the problem? The problem is the Braita. The Braita says that the Chachamim say you're always puzzle if you're a gambler, whether it's your only income or you have other income. So Ben Sheyesho Umunotel Yolo Areza Puzzles. You see over here, he only said Eimatai, and nonetheless, it clearly is a machlokas. So now, who's this going according to? Not Rabbi Yochanan, not Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Now I'm very confused. Nah. Eimatai doesn't mean nobody in the world argues. Eimatai means that the person who just made a statement, the Chachamim, the Tanakama, when Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, but when is this true? He doesn't mean to argue. And he doesn't. This shita that you're bringing is a braita, and it's somebody else completely. It's not the Tanakama. This is a third shita, and we never talked about him. I don't know what Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't have said the word Eimatai there, obviously. So I hear the Rabbi Yudam Rabbi Tarfani. That was completely different. That was going Aliba the Rabbi Tarfani. It's certainly true that the Chachamim over here are Chaylik. But that's Rabbi Tarfan, the Tanya. Omer Rabbi Yudam Mishum Rabbi Tarfan, the Olam Ein Echad Miam Nazir Lefisha Ein Nazirut Elala Hafla'a. This is a completely different issue. Remember the crazy situation over there. Two people are sitting on a park bench and discussing the election. And there's this guy coming. And one guy says, that guy is a Nazir. No, says the other one, that guy is not a Nazir. Yeah, that guy's not a Nazir, then I'll be a Nazir. Yeah, well, if that guy is a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir. The din over there is that nobody is a Nazir because Nazirut is only made lahaf la'a. You're not allowed to chew in the daf yomi. What's going on over there? Goldsteins, do something about this situation. The fact that the guy refuses to say something clear, there's no hafla'a. He can't say, I am a Nazir. He's saying, if that guy's not a Nazir, then I'm a Nazir. I mean, that's not hafla'a. Hafla'a is absolute. So you see, according to that since he is not sure, really, deep in his heart, I mean, I don't really know 100% the guy is a Nazir, not a Nazir, he is not committed to what he's saying. So in the case of a gambler, since he doesn't really know whether he's going to win or he's not going to win, when he put the money down on the table, lo gamar umakna, he didn't really mean it with his full heart. And since he didn't mean it with his full heart, if you go ahead and you take that money, that's called esmachta lo kanya. And because of that, if esmachta lo kanya, then if you are osek in gambling, you're going to be taking money from people who had no intention of losing that money. Now, Tosis points out over here that since in this case, we argued that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda because the Rabbanan that are arguing over are not the Rabbanan that are in this Mishnah. And we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in Sanhedrin. Then that would mean that there's no problem with gambling. And the only reason that the psul over there is because your entire parnasa is being made off of the gambling. However, Tosis makes some very fascinating and obvious, really, distinctions. There's different types of esmachtas. There's an esmachta where you believe that you can do something about the situation and not where you're relying on probabilistic issues. So let's say you make yourself a deal with somebody that you're going to be planting and successfully reaping in this field, and you're giving it 50%, whatever it is. And if it doesn't work, then I'm going to make a fine on myself to give you double. That's an esmachta. But that's an esmachta that you believe you can do something about. And over there, we don't say esmachta lo kanya. The only place that we would be talking about an esmachta, where is somebody there, if you are putting your money down in a case where you know, it's the opposite, that would be esmachta lo kanya, because you really thought that it was going to work. You had no intention of paying money to the guy. But over here, you know perfectly well that, who knows? I don't know. I have no way of influencing the statistics. I'm hoping, that's all. So I basically played my birthday in the lottery. I mean, come on, I really believe that that means that I'm going to win, and I didn't mean to buy the ticket if I don't win? That's absurd. Of course, in that case, there was no problem of Asmachta Lo Kanya, because it was on that basis that you put it down in the beginning. Furthermore, Tosfos also makes a distinction between where you put your money down or where you just make a bet, which is based on amana, that if I lose, I'll pay you. What do you mean, if you lose, you pay me? Where's the kinyan for that? You can't, over there, for sure you can't force the guy to pay. He needs to put the money down first and to invest in the ticket or put it down on the table in order to be able to deal with these cases where we say that, of course, he understands that he could certainly lose. But commitments to pay are never commitments anyway, if there was no kinyan that was associated with it. And then it is time for Sir Richard Hadron Halach Chalon.